I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I seem to recall that when our sons were small, we subjected to a barrage of doctor jokes they'd picked up from friends at school. Doctor, doctor, I think I'm a pair of curtains. Well, pull yourself together. Doctor, doctor, the nurse has taken my pulse. Well, I haven't got it. Nowadays, of course, such jokes could be seen as being in bad taste as a result of the pressures doctors experience today. Being a doctor is no longer a laughing matter, as we and they grapple with a need for well-being in today's COVID world, a very strange world that we live in with coronavirus. Today, we commemorate the life of St. Luke. St. Luke was a doctor and a companion and colleague of St. Paul nearly 2,000 years ago. We know this because Paul refers to him in his book name three times in his letters, in Colossians, Philemon, and Timothy. And of course, he is generally accepted as the author of the gospel which bears his name and the Acts of the Apostles, because its introductory words indicate that he has two volumes. Here was a second-generation Christian who had ample opportunity of associating with those who had first-hand knowledge of the gospel events. Almost certainly a Gentile himself, we can infer that he was a well-educated man, not just by his profession, but also from the way he uses the Greek language. Depending on what he's writing about, he ranges from the very formal classical prose to a racy vernacular of his own time. He has something of a poet in his makeup as well, as an artist, and he depicted vivid pen portraits of the men and the women who inhabited the pages of the two volumes of work in the Gospels and in the Acts. He was careful to record what he regarded as important. For example, without St. Luke, we would not have the detail associated with Jesus' birth, such as the Magnificat and the Nunc-Dimittis. Only a doctor would be so interested in the miracle of childbirth as he was to actually record it in such a way. Many aspects of the Acts is compiled from his diaries, which he switches from I to we quite frequently. So here is someone keen to propagate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ from his inherited and first-hand knowledge, often from St. Paul on his travels. We know that St. Paul had a physical problem, referred to by him as a thorn in the flesh. What better companion to have on your travels than your own personal doctor in the person of St. Luke? Luke would be at home in today's world because some things do not change. Medical practitioners are constantly learning, just as we are constantly learning about and dealing with COVID-19. It was good to see so many retired doctors and nurses going back and offering themselves for duty. Earlier in the pandemic, I had a call from a friend I trained with at King's College Hospital in London. And she said she'd managed to contact about 14 of our set. She said, who obviously were still above ground, as she put it, which was quite enlightening. So we were, at least 14 of us are still above ground. And said that we would all love to go back. We would dearly love to go back and offer our services back to the hospital who trained us. But we would need to be at least 30 or 40 years younger, as we were all around the 80 mark. And so the best we could probably do was to send tea and coffee, cake and biscuits back to King's and for those who were still working and doing such a grand job in all our hospitals today. As we all said, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was really rather weak. And so the best we could do was to send provisions. We have come to understand in recent years that medicine is more what goes on in our bodies as we recognise the events having effect at the moment on mental and physical well-being. As our lifestyles become restricted and may become even more restricted as the weeks go on. Something the church has recognised when it speaks of healing in body, mind and spirit. Or as the medical profession puts it, a holistic approach. I believe healing and wholeness are about relationships, and I want to look briefly at three this morning. Firstly, the relationship with God. This is the most important aspect of healing because it heals and restores our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You remember the account of St. Luke's Gospel of the women who bathed Jesus' feet and head with oil. Jesus said to Simon, who was appalled by this act, "Her sins are many and have been forgiven, hence she shows great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Wholeness comes from repentance, forgiveness, and love, acknowledging our sins and the forgiveness, accepting God's forgiveness, and praising Him for His love. Secondly, the relationship with others, living in peace and harmony with them as much as we are responsible, loving our neighbours, going the extra mile, which of course many people have done this during the pandemic, doing shopping, collecting prescriptions, calling neighbours, phoning them. People are doing this. And that is our relationship with other people and making sure that we are reconcilers within the church family, which again is also very important. And thirdly, the relationship with ourselves, inner healing. To know true holiness, we need to actually learn to love ourselves, accept ourselves as God sees us. We all stand in need of healing from hurts and wounds of the past, which perhaps have left scars, and in some cases remain unhealed or just plastered over. And you know, if you just put a plaster on a wound that isn't clean, you end up with a worse problem because it festers underneath the plaster. And for many people, that is what is happening in their lives, in their mental illness. A plaster has been stuck over it, but underneath there is a wound which is festering. And so, finally, healing is wholeness. This is often overlooked in our understanding of healing. God wants to make us holy as He is holy. The story of Zacchaeus affirms this. We are told that as Jesus entered Jericho, a man named Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but being very small, he climbed up into a tree because there was such a large crowd. But Jesus saw him up in the tree and said, "I'm coming to your house today." I wonder what Zacchaeus felt like. Not time to put the duster or the hoover around. Jesus was coming. Not time to make a cake. Jesus said, "I'm coming," and that's it. "I'm coming to your house." And the encounter with Jesus changed his whole life. He gave half his possessions to the poor, put back fourfold any debt that he paid, that he had, and his life was turned around. His priorities were sorted out, and healing came to Zacchaeus that day. God's healing work is not to free us from the symptoms of wrong relationships, but to heal the relationship. Brokenness, wholeness, lostness, and salvation are focused in the celebration of the Eucharist. We celebrate it all, the cross, the healing, resurrection. As Jesus healed in his days on earth, he still heals and brings wholeness to our lives today. He works through the medical profession. He works through each one of us, clergy and laity alike, if we are open to the power of the Holy Spirit. I close with some words from Teresa of Avila, speaking to us here today as we carry on Christ's healing work in our very broken world. Christ has no body on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he is to look out into the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands with which he is to heal and bless us now. Amen.